Congregation, boys and girls, there was once a very famous artist, a famous painter, who was walking through the downtown area of a major city. And there he saw someone crumpled on the side, a beggar, we would say a homeless person. He looked totally disheveled. His hair was dirty and greasy, and he wore rags. And that painter was so impressed by what he saw. He walked over to him. He said, "Sir, I'm a painter. I would like you to come to my studio tomorrow because I would like to paint a picture of you." This poor beggar was surprised. "A picture of me?" He said, "Yes, I want you to come to my studio and I will reward you. I will reward you for coming." And so this beggar thought about this. And he thought, "You know what? I better clean myself up." And so he did. He washed himself, combed his hair, shaved himself, changed his clothing, and tried to make himself look as presentable as he possibly could. And the next day, he went to the studio of this artist. He knocked at the door. The artist opens the door and said, "Who are you?" He said, "Well, I am the person you talked to yesterday. Remember, you found me on the side and you asked me to come in." He said, "Yes, but you didn't look like this yesterday. I wanted you to come to me the way you were. I did not want you to clean yourself up and try to make yourself something you are not. I wanted you to come the way you were." Congregation, what a picture it is of who we are. I wonder how you fared this week during this week of preparation. As you thought about the Lord's Supper, have you perhaps been busy to try to clean yourself up and to make yourself as presentable as possible? Because, congregation, if that's the case, then you are coming here, you would be coming to the Lord's table in the wrong way. Because as much as this beggar tried to clean himself up, it did not change who he was. A congregation, the Lord's table is not for people who perceive themselves as having been successful in cleaning themselves up. Perhaps you tried this week. Perhaps you've struggled this week. Perhaps you are very, very disappointed this morning. And perhaps you feel very unworthy of partaking of this blessed meal. But congregation, and I'm here to remind you that this is a table not for people who are able to clean themselves up, not for people who are able to make themselves look better. This is a table that is instituted for sinners. And that's why I want to focus briefly in preparation for the Lord's Supper on these amazing words recorded for us in Luke 15, verse 2. And we read there. Let me read both verses 1 and 2. They belong together. "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man..." This is our text. "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so these words that came from the lips of scribes and Pharisees who hated the Lord Jesus Christ, who despised him, who wanted to deride him, yet they did not realize that they could not honor the Savior more than they did by making this remarkable statement. "This man," and actually in the Greek, it doesn't even say "this man." It says "this one." That's how much they despised him. "This one receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And so in all simplicity, we want to focus this morning on Jesus and sinners. That's what this text is all about, Jesus and sinners. The first point, Boys and girls, you can figure this out. If we look at the text, look at the text with me. This man receives sinners and eats with them. And so I'm going to have 2 points, 2 simple points. First of all, this is a man who receives sinners. That's what the text says. This man receiveth sinners. And our second point is that this man also eats with sinners. He receives sinners, and secondly, he eats with them. And so, congregation, the chapter begins by telling us that then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The then, of course, points to the previous chapter. And if you read the beginning of chapter 14, then you notice that Jesus was enjoying a meal in the house of a Pharisee. He apparently had been invited to eat bread with a Pharisee. But by the time this is all over, there is a crowd gathering around the Lord Jesus Christ. Publicans and sinners are coming from everywhere. They're coming to hear him. Because never had they heard anyone like him. Never had they heard a rabbi speak the way he did. Never had they experienced a rabbi who did not send them away. A rabbi who did not show that he despised them. A rabbi who was so entirely different than the rabbis they were used to, the scribes and the Pharisees. You know what a Pharisee would do when he would see a publican? He would spit on the ground and he would walk on the other side of the road. The Pharisees made it no secret that they utterly despised publicans. They utterly despised sinners. They utterly despised harlots. And now, what happens here? They witness how these publicans and how these sinners, how these harlots, how these people that they looked down upon, that they despised, that these people are gathering all around the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they opened their mouth and they expressed their utter disdain for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as if they say, well, do you not see who this man is? Can you not tell what kind of a rabbi he is? Can you not tell who he is by the company that he keeps? This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. But little did they know that they could not have described more precisely who the Lord Jesus is and why the Lord Jesus came into this world. Why it was that these publicans, these harlots, these sinners, why they were so attracted to him, so attracted to his preaching. Because for the first time in their lives, they heard about the grace and about the mercy of God. And boys and girls, why did that register with them? Why? Because they were painfully aware of what kind of people they were. They were painfully aware that they were sinners, and they were amazed to hear out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus that there was grace for sinners. That's what made him so attractive. That's why they drew near to him to hear him. Not the first time that enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ were able to express such a remarkable truth. Boys and girls, you know the story of Caiaphas, when the Lord Jesus was brought before Caiaphas, the high priest, and the Sanhedrin. What did Caiaphas say? He said, it's better for one man to die than for the people to perish. And of course, what he meant, he said, let's get rid of this man. Because if we don't get rid of him, the Romans will come after us and many people will perish. So it's better for us to get rid of him than that the people would die. But he did not realize what a profound truth he proclaimed about the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't realize that that's exactly what was about to happen. That because Jesus would die, that many sinners would live and be reconciled with God. And so we see here the Pharisees, without realizing it, they really, what they did here is they gave Jesus his badge of honor. This man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them. Who is this man? Who is this one, as they said in mockery and disdain? Who is this man? And of course, this man is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. This man is none other than the Savior of sinners. This man is none other than the eternal Son of God, who came in the fullness of time to become this man. He came to become a man. He came to take upon himself our human nature. And why did he come? And why did he take upon himself our human nature? Why did the eternal Son of God become this man? He became this man in order that publicans and sinners and harlots could be reconciled with God. God, we could say, this man is none other than God in the flesh. It is God himself who, in the person of his Son, came to this wretched world of ours in order that sinners could be saved. Because ultimately, when we read here about the publicans and sinners, that's not just about those people who gathered around the Lord Jesus, no congregation. This is ultimately who we are. We belong in that lineup. By nature, we don't want to recognize that. By nature, we are like the Pharisees. By nature, we think highly of ourselves. We esteem ourselves highly, and we fail to realize who we really are in the sight of God. The point was, these publicans and these Pharisees, they needed Christ just as much as those sinners and harlots and publicans did. The sad part of it is they were utterly blind to that reality, which is one of the reasons why I think the Lord Jesus told the shocking parable of the prodigal son. A parable that would have been so offensive to them, but he told that story to awaken them as well. But the point is this. Ultimately, this is a description of all of us. A congregation, if we cannot put our name in that lineup, if we cannot insert our name between those publicans and those sinners, then I'm afraid that we're still blind to ourselves. But if by the work of the Holy Spirit we have received any self-knowledge, if in any measure we have learned to see ourselves the way God sees us, then we will recognize that we belong in that lineup. We belong to the publicans and to the sinners. And it is for such sinners that the eternal Son of God came into the flesh. It is for such sinners that he became this man. God and man united in one person. Oh, he became man. And he united himself to the human nature because that was the ultimate goal of his ministry. The ultimate goal of his ministry was to bring God and man together again. It was to bring together again fallen sinners and the God who created them. Oh, the goal of his ministry was to restore that union and that relationship. That's why God's Son became this man. That's why he humbled himself. That's why he made himself of no reputation. And he did that right here. By allowing these publicans and these sinners to gather around him, he literally made himself of no reputation. Already in Luke 7, verse 34, we read how the Pharisees and the scribes, how they mock with Jesus. They said, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber and a friend of publicans and sinners." Actually, the same thing, a friend of publicans and sinners. But again, congregation, when they said that, they were giving the Lord Jesus Christ, they were giving him a badge of honor. Later in the same chapter, when this woman comes in, this harlot, who weeps at his feet and who dries his feet? Again, they looked at him in disdain. They said, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. Again, they failed to understand who he was. They failed to understand why he came. Oh, this man receiveth sinners. Oh, congregation, that's why God took upon himself the human nature to draw so very near to us, to come so close to us. Jesus came so close to these publicans and sinners. He came so close to the people that he was ministering to that even this woman with the issue of blood, she was able to touch the hem of his garment. That's the marvel about the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the person of his Son, God reveals his desire. He reveals his good pleasure. He draws near to us in such a way that we will be encouraged to draw near to him. This man receiveth sinners. And the word in Greek is actually so very rich. It means this man not only receives sinners, no, he welcomes them. He welcomes sinners. That's the gospel. That is the good news of the gospel that we may proclaim to you as well today. That's really what this table sets before us visibly. That Jesus Christ, who is the host of this table, is a Savior who welcomes sinners. He welcomes them with open arms. Precisely because of who he is. And my friend, if you have never taken refuge to this Christ, oh, let this encourage you. Let this encourage you today that this Savior delights in receiving sinners. This Savior delights in welcoming sinners. This Savior has declared that he will in no wise cast you out. This man receiveth sinners. That's why his name is Emmanuel. Boys and girls, you know what that name means? Emmanuel. So if you go to Matthew 1, at the end of the chapter, you read about the name Jesus. That means Savior. But you also read the name Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. That's what we see here in this text. That's what we see at this table. God with us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, congregation, is that truth attractive to you? Are you delighted to hear this morning that this man receiveth sinners? Because the problem is that by nature, we let that go in one ear and out the other. But when does this become precious to us? When does this become like good news to us? When does this become music in our ears that this man receiveth sinners? It is precisely when we are painfully aware that we are sinners. And that's why the Lord, the Holy Spirit, in order to make this Savior precious to us, in order to make this Savior irresistibly attractive to us, will convince us of the fact that we are sinners. That's an ugly word, congregation, sinners. That word describes who we are as fallen sons and daughters of Adam. That word tells us that we are failures, that we are rebels. That word tells us that in God's sight we are criminals. We are lawbreakers. Oh, it's a damning word. That's why the natural man is so offended by the gospel. The natural man does not want to hear that he is a sinner in the sight of God. And you know, we grow up with that word. We're so familiar with that word. I wonder if that word still bothers you, that it still bothers you, that it grieves you that you are a sinner. And yet, congregation, that's what the Holy Spirit will teach us. And when that becomes real to us, when it dawns on us what it means to be a sinner, when we begin to understand how God views us, when we realize how utterly undone we are, when we realize how vile we are, how corrupt we are at the very core of our being, when we begin to see that our entire life is stained with sin, then this becomes so precious that this man receives sinners. He will receive any sinner. Because what we have here is the whosoever of the gospel. That's why it says publicans and sinners. And elsewhere, harlots. To communicate to us that any sinner is welcome with this Savior. This Savior delights to welcome any sinner to come to him. So no one has to think that they are too sinful, that they have sinned too long, that they have grieved God too much. Oh, that I may proclaim to you that this man receiveth sinners. That's what's also being communicated by means of the Lord's table. Because congregation, the painful discovery of every believer is that we continue to be sinners. And perhaps you've had a discouraging week. Perhaps things happened this week that painfully reminded you of the fact that you are still a sinner and that you continue to be a sinner. As a matter of fact, congregation, I can assure you, for me and for you, that there was enough this week to disqualify us from taking our seat at this table. And yet, congregation, yet, Christ wants his people to know that in spite of the fact that we will continue to be sinners until we die, until our last breath, that he delights to receive us at his table, that he welcomes us with open arms, that also this morning he's saying to us, his people, I want you to come the way you are. That's why it's such a blessing that the Lord's Supper is never administered at a moment when we are ready for it. The Lord's Supper comes irrespective of where we are, irrespective of what kind of week we had. The Lord's Supper comes because the requirement for admission to this table is very simple. This is a place for sinners. This is a place for redeemed sinners. This is a place for redeemed publicans and harlots and sinners. If you come to this table as anything more than a sinner, I can assure you, you will not benefit from this table. But if you come here painfully aware of how bankrupt you are in yourself, oh, then it will be so precious to see before you the visible tokens of the love of Christ, the visible evidence that this word is true, that this man receives sinners. Because these signs, they point us to the ultimate solution, the ultimate explanation why this Son of God can gather with us at this table. Because this table points us to the cross of Calvary. Without that cross, without the Savior having suffered and died, without him having shed his blood, without him having emptied the cup of God's wrath, there could not be a table like this. Without that sacrifice, it would be impossible for a holy God to have communion and fellowship with sinners. But the Lord's table shows us the visible evidence why it is possible today for Christ to receive sinners, to receive his redeemed sinners, why we may take our place at this table. And so nobody should think at this moment, am I good enough for the Lord's table? If you still think you're good enough, then you had better not come. This is not a table for people who are good enough. and who measure up to a certain standards. This is a table for people who readily confess, Lord, I am poor and I am needy. As a matter of fact, one of the marks of spiritual maturity is that we realize more and more how bankrupt we are. So when Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, that's a lifelong realization. And as a matter of fact, the more we mature in the life of grace, the more we realize our spiritual poverty, the more we realize that there is absolutely nothing in us that qualifies us for God's favor. That's why it's so beautiful that this table represents the unconditional grace of God. And that's why, dear people of God, that's why you may come as you are. Because your Savior, He receives sinners. It's the present tense in Greek that means He always receives sinners. He keeps on receiving sinners over and over and over again. He never tires of receiving sinners, ever. And then it says, not only does He receive us, no, He eats with them. That was what did it for the Pharisees. It's one thing for Jesus to preach to those publicans and to those harlots, but He actually sat down and ate with them, that He had a meal with them. You have to realize that in that culture, a meal was a very important event. It was a social event. When you invited people over for supper, it wasn't to see how quickly you could eat the meal. No, they would spend hours. They would lounge around the table, because the eating of food and drink was only a means to an end. When somebody invited you, that meant the host who invited you really wanted to get to know you better. The host really wanted to have fellowship with you. I can assure you that in Jesus' days, there were no fast food restaurants. There was no such thing as fast food. People took their time to eat. And Jesus sat down with these people. And you know, the Pharisees believed in this proverb, tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who you are. A man is known by the company he keeps. So they said in disdain, look at this. He actually eats with them. He actually sits down with them. He is like one of them. And again, they failed to realize how they honored Him by saying that. That's exactly why He sat down with them. That's why He ate with them, because He wanted to communicate to these publicans and to these harlots and to these sinners that He desired their company, that He wanted them to come as close to Him as possible. He wanted them to understand, I care about you. I welcome you in my presence. I want to have communion with you. I want to have fellowship with you. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus declares this morning. Not only is He inviting His people, not only is He inviting His poor and needy beggars to come and take their place here, but He's saying, I want to eat with you. I want to have communion with you. I want to have fellowship with you. That's the beauty. That's why we call it the communion table. So not only are we nourished at this table, because obviously the bread and wine represents a meal, a simple Jewish meal, a spiritual meal. And so Christ wants to nourish our souls. To nourish our souls with what? Well, with Himself. With the bread of life. He wants us as His people to feed upon what He has accomplished on the cross. To find our nourishment, our strength, our refreshment in His broken body and in His shed blood. But more than that, congregation, more than that. He wants us to know that on the basis of what He accomplished, by His body being broken and His blood being shed, He wants us to know Because of that, I can have fellowship with you. I can commune with you freely, without any reservation. I want to commune with you. I want to communicate to you how much I love you. I want to communicate to you that my love for you never wavers. Who of us can say that? Between now and the last Lord's Supper, how fervent has your love been? How steadfast has your love been? How faithful have you been to this Savior? Have you walked with him? Who of us would not blush and confess with shame that we come short in so many different ways? But he is saying, it doesn't matter. I know all about you. I know about your track record. But it doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change my love for you. It doesn't change my commitment. It doesn't change the fact that I always delight in you. That's why I want you to come and eat with me. I want to have fellowship with you. I want to open my heart to you. I want you to know how much you mean to me. I want you to know that I love you so much that I died for you. I gave my life for you. I went to hell for you. As we will hear tonight, I allowed myself to be forsaken of God so that you would never be forsaken. I allowed myself to be rejected by God and man so that I can now gather you around me, so that I can now have fellowship with you. And so beautifully, this table represents the past and the future. It represents what was once true in paradise. There Adam and Eve enjoyed communion with God. And that will be the future of the marriage supper of the Lamb, where God's redeemed people will forever enjoy communion with God. That's what this table is all about. It is the communion table. It is a table that reminds us of this precious truth. This man, this altogether lovely Savior, this all-sufficient Savior, this willing and able Savior, this Savior who loved himself to death, this Savior who gave himself as a sacrifice, this Savior, though he knew no sin, was made sin and was made a curse. This Savior who loved you to the very end and to the uttermost, this Savior is saying, my people, all things are ready. You don't have to bring a thing. You may come without money and without price. You may come with your empty hands. And I want you to know that on the basis of my finished work, I can receive you. In spite of all your failures, in spite of all your shortcomings, in spite of the fact that so often your heart is cold, and so often you're like a wandering sheep, I want you to know, I want you to draw near to me. Because I, Jesus Christ, I receive sinners. I welcome sinners with open arms. And it is my desire to eat with you also in this morning hour. And so therefore, if you tried this week what that beggar did, to try to make yourself better, to make yourself worthy of this table, what a futile exercise that is. Because just like that painter, he knew who this man was. The fact that he had dressed himself up and combed his hair, he saw him the day before. He knew exactly. And so Christ knows who you are. He knows everything about you. But that's what makes this table so beautiful. Because he is saying, all things are ready. I have done everything for you. Come, come and commune with me. And congregation, If you have never come to this Christ, then this is a visible display of the gospel. Then what I am saying now to the people of God, again, I want to say to you as well, my dear friend, do not delay any longer, but come. Come to this willing and able Savior. He welcomes you with open arms. Boys and girls, he welcomes you with open arms. Don't let the devil discourage you. Don't let the devil tell you that you are too great of a sinner. That's why it says here that he received publicans and sinners and harlots, prostitutes, drunks, you name it, he received them all. And so it matters not how vile you are. It matters not how long you have sinned, how deep you have sunk. This man, this Savior, he receives sinners and he eats with them.